God is a very personal God. He loves us true and true and true. And it's amazing that we are only discovering some of the things about Him. You know, we like to sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. And, you know, I look at that verse and say, for the Bible tells me so. Then I look and I start to search the scripture for specific mention that Jesus loves me. There were about seven I could find. Seven. And yet, in this hymn that the children sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. So they could know, they know exactly where the seven are. No, no, actually, the Bible tells us of Jesus' actions. No specific mention that Jesus loves me, or loves him, or loves, no. That seven of them, you know, Revelation chapter 1 and other places. Interesting. So it is maybe worthwhile for us as an exercise to go search the scripture. Where does the Bible say Jesus loves me? It is a worthwhile exercise. And you'll find that most of it was because he did what was necessary to show his love. He did. He did stuff. He did things. Amazing things. And when we discover those things, truly we can say, Jesus loves me. This I know. Now I know because I search the scripture, I know. Because the scripture, the Bible, tells me so. So worthwhile to do that. This morning, Lord willing, we're going to spend some time talking about things to come. And before we do that, maybe let's commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Shall we bow our heads and pray? Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this time that Thou hast given us. We thank Thee for the wonderful privilege that we can come as an assembly to remember our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank Thee also for the privilege of being able to come under the ministry of Thy Word. We pray that the Word that Thou hast given us, we may indeed appropriate into our hearts. Hear them and obey. We commit this time into Thy hands, asking that Thou guide Thy Word into our hearts, that they may reach us and touch us and move us to respond. We give Thee thanks in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, things to come. First, a warning. You are going to see a lot of pictures. The images in this presentation are not meant to be accurate depiction of everything. They are meant for illustration purposes. They're meant to help us, to educate us. With that, okay, this is not PowerPoint, so I was told. I would like to kind of list the question one at a time. But they all come out, so you see all the questions. Okay. How many of us here are really interested in the things to come? I mean, really get excited about this now. And we talk about it today, this morning, several times. We talk about the things to come. And do we really know what the Bible says about the things to come? How much time have we invested to discover what God has to tell us about the things to come? You see, God wants us to know so that when we see the things to come, we can indeed praise Him. And you know, of course, is it really important to us? Many of us say that, okay, we are going to be raptured, this and the things to come after rapture, this and this. Inconsequential. No? I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Forget about it. Don't worry. Don't worry. Now, that is not a very good attitude, because that's not what God wants. God wants us to know for a very good reason. And are we today already seeing many of the things happening that is showing that God is unfolding these things that He has written in Scripture and just revealing them to us so we know the last days are coming? This word last days is a very dangerous word. What do you mean by last days? And when we say last days, here we are talking about the last days of the church age. Okay, that's fine. Okay, we are talking about the last days of the church age. Because we know that after the church, there will be at least another 1,000 years. So it's not last days. So don't talk about last days like it's the last days. Because the last days are not the last days. We'll go through it and listen. You know what I mean. The Bible tells us, this is an eye chart. So you have good eyesight, you can see many things. You don't have good eyesight, it may be a bit difficult. Eh? But the Bible tells us a lot of things about the things to come. A lot. So much that sometimes we fail to understand that God wants us to know. For example, the book of Revelation. There's so much in the book of Revelation about the things to come. And there are many, many other places. And not just Revelation, Thessalonians. Yeah? Even the Old Testament. There are many places where God tells us about the things to come. If this is not important, God would have deleted those passages. But if it's important for God to include it, it means that it's important for us to know it and read it and understand it. You know, that screen is so far away, my eyesight is not that good, so I have to... Then, now, where are we today? And now, what does the Scripture say? And do we know that we are in the last days of the church age? How many of us believe that we are in the last days of the church age? Good. Yeah, I think we are. And, you know, and what happens after the last days of the church age? It begins the day of the Lord. You don't want to be there, eh? The day of the Lord. You do not want to be there. I hope none of us will be there. Of course, before the last days, what does the Bible tell us? You know, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nations will rise against nations. There'll be famine. And listen, the poor will be suffering. Already many countries, you know, we think this is a picture from history. Yes, it is. But there are many places where they are already suffering. Suffering because food could not reach them. It'll be worse. We know pestilences are already upon the world. We read about it's not just COVID-19. Now you talk about RSV, the resurgence, this, now all the kids, you know. This is in the news a few days ago. So it's not... and we hear about COVID-19 365 days a year, almost everywhere. And we see earthquakes. There are a lot of things happening before us. And we see the world changing. People giving, the world has a different morality. Giving themselves into all sorts of fornication and strange flesh, and there's more. It's hard to stand here and tell you. I like to dig, and there's so much that when I read about, it is unspeakable. Unspeakable. So when we say vile sinners, it's truly, truly vile. How many of you know that child sacrifices are still very prevalent in the world? How many of you see all these things, abortion, children are harvested for their organs. They are aborted alive so that their organs, the fetal cells, the aborted fetal cells, will be very effective. They are cut like on a table, like chickens. It's hard to see all these things and tell you that everything's okay. It's not okay. Are we ready for the day of the Lord? Some people say this is a strange question to ask a believer. We are not going to go through the day of the Lord. Yes, it's true. What about unbelieving family members? What about unbelieving friends? What about unbelieving colleagues? And is that what God wants us to do? Just sit and laze around for the rest of our days before the day of the Lord? And we know before the day of the Lord is an event called rapture. How many of you are familiar with rapture? Okay. How many of you have never heard of rapture? Okay, great, because I think this is important. We will all be changed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it talks about resurrection. And one of the beautiful things is that in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. What happens after that? After that is a dreaded period of 7 years of tribulation. Never ever happened on earth before. The events are recorded for us in great detail, in especially the book of Revelation. It's recorded elsewhere, meant for us to know. You see, the book of Revelation is meant for all to read. In fact, Revelation says this and that special blessing for us. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is at hand. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3. And it's not just meant for believers, it's meant for non-believers. If you read the second chapter of Revelation, it says over and over again 7 times, he that had an ear, let him hear. How many of us don't have ears? None. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit saith unto the churches. So what the Holy Spirit saith unto the churches is relevant to everyone. Now, at the beginning of tribulation, I'm basically picking out a few big things from the eye chart that you saw earlier. Because the eye chart is too small. This is a little bit bigger, so easier for us to see. And here, listen, we read in 2 Thessalonians, the wicked one will be revealed. And who is the And God will send a great delusion that the world will believe the lie. Already many people are deceived. And I speak from my heart. It's very, very sad when I see things. People are deceived and they do not know. Christians and non-Christians alike. You know, how often we... These days, we hear people say, "This, what is evil, they call it good. What is good, they call it evil." Is that happening today? How many believe that it's happening today? What is evil, they call good. They call good. What is good, they call evil. Happening, right? We all know. Now, we say LGBT, they say, "Oh, no, this is good." Family, break up the family unit, that's good. All the evil things, they call good. All the good things, they call evil. In fact, they prosecute those who dare to stand up and say those things. Okay, I saw the thing disappear over there. So. Well, the Antichrist will have a helper, you know, if you read scripture, the Antichrist, or it's called the beast, will have a helper called a false prophet, and the false prophet will create an image, a statue, and force the world to worship the statue. Where is that from? See here? Oh, Revelation 13, okay. This is not a quiz, okay. Revelation 13. And he will cause everyone, rich and poor, everyone that they can get a hand on to have a mark in their forehand and in their forehead. Let me repeat, a mark in their forehand, in the right hand, and in their forehead. Think about this. I won't elaborate any further. And, you know, those left behind will be judged. And this is the time of Jacob's trouble, but you know, the world, the Gentile nations who are left behind will also struggle through this whole period. It is very hard to believe. If you cannot believe now, you will not believe during tribulation. Not that you will not, but it will be very hard for you to believe during tribulation. You'll be persecuted over and over and over and over for your faith. And most likely you will die in your faith if you believe. Are you ready? If you are not already a believer? And there'll be judgments. We read about seven seals judgment. We read about, you know, all the different. Now, seven seals judgment, false peace, war, famine, death, and then this anarchy. What about the trumpets? After the seven seals, you have seven trumpets. You don't have to worry about taking notes. I'll send this out to you, okay? Now, seven trumpets, you read about hail and fire, you read about great mountain cast into the sea, you read about the great star from heaven, you read about the sun and moon, listen, smitten, you read about locusts, you read about large armies from the east, you read about earthquakes and great hail. What is the impact? One third of the trees died, burned, and all the grass burned. All the grass burned. No more lawns. All the grass burned. one third of the sea become blood, and then one third of sea creatures die. The star, great star, or this in the comet, whatever it may be, will hit one third of the rivers, fountains, waters, and many will die because of the water. One third of the sun and moon smitten, and stars smitten, so it's darker. And this special locusts, we don't know what they are, but you know, they come and sting you and hurt people for 5 months. It'll be so bad that many people ask to die. But they will not be allowed death. The one third of the men killed by the large armies. What happened? I do not know, but I know the result. The Bible tells me so. An earthquake and great hail. What about the final seven judgment, the seven bowl judgment? Now, foul and painful sores on all those who have the mark of the beast. It's the sea turned to blood, and all sea creatures die. All sea creatures die. The rivers and the fountains became blood. The sun will scorch the people so badly with fire and great heat. The throne of the beast and his kingdom will be struck with darkness to dry up so that the armies from the east can come and enter into Israel. And there, Armageddon. There begins, and there will be a great earthquake such as you've never seen before. All the islands will disappear. Singapore, no, island, disappear. Whatever island you can think of, disappear. And there'll be a great hill. These hills are huge. I do not know how to describe it. The Bible says this is about, I can't remember, a talent, whatever it is. Now, a talent is very heavy. You know? It'll kill you on impact. And towards the end of the 7 years, the nations will go into Israel, and at this place begins Armageddon. And all the armies will be defeated. Anyone still left alive will be killed. All these are in scripture. I'm not telling you a story from imagination, from scripture, from Revelation, mostly. Then the beast and the false prophet will be cast alive into the lake of fire. People think that the lake of fire is a fictitious thing. Just look at the sun. Please, just look at the sun. The sun is a hot lake of fire. If you can't imagine a lake of fire, look at the sun. Look at any star. This is worse. This is worse. And then, after Armageddon, Satan will be bound. All it takes is one angel, to cast Satan into the bottomless pit. Now, some people say Satan is very powerful. Yes, I think we all agree. But Satan is not equivalent of God. Satan is a created angel. He is powerful because God allows him to. He is not omnipotent. He's all powerful. He is not omnipresent everywhere. He's not everywhere. He has a lot of followers everywhere, fallen angels everywhere, demons everywhere. Yes, but Satan himself is not everywhere. Don't blame Satan all the time. Very often we should point the finger at ourselves. And Satan is then begins what? The judgment of the sheep and the goat. You read this in Matthew chapter 26. 25, sorry. Matthew 25, this is the Gentile nations. There'll be other judgments we won't talk about, but this is to see who will enter into the millennium. So at the beginning of the millennium, everybody is righteous. At the beginning, keyword. Millennium is very interesting. It's a subject of a different discussion, and there's so much to talk about millennium. But listen, there'll be angels, there'll be people like us, you and I will be there, because during the 7 years we were in heaven, at the end of 7 years we'll come down with Christ, and we'll reign with Christ, with his saints, and listen, there'll be other people who are alive from tribulation, enter into millennium, very strange. But this is what it is. And Christ will reign on earth for 1,000 years. And the earth will change. The earth is not the same. Somehow, God made some change to this earth. And this earth will change, and we will live long lives. We will be given new bodies. We'll live forever. But those who are alive and enter into millennium, they will have long lives. To die 100 years is dying like a child. Now we find that in the Old Testament. So, and Christ will reign. Jerusalem will be a special place. And there will be a special temple built. And this is a temple described in Ezekiel. We call it, most people call it the Millennial Temple. How many of you have heard of Millennial Temple? Okay, good. Not everyone, but at least a good number know. Okay, the Millennial Temple is very huge. This is an artist here of what the Millennial Temple looked like. But you want to read the details? Ezekiel chapter 40 and 41. To give you an idea, that is Solomon's temple. Can you see Solomon's temple? Can you see this one? Solomon's temple. Herod's temple is over there. American football field. This is Ezekiel's temple on earth. Ezekiel's temple on earth. But there is a different place called the New City or Heavenly Jerusalem. Now, this Heavenly Jerusalem is not to be confused with the Jerusalem on earth. Not the same. Read in Revelation 21, it will tell you it's not the same. It's a very pretty city and very big. To give you an illustration, this is the size of the millennium, this new city, Jerusalem. It's 1,000 miles long, 1,000 miles wide, 1,500 miles long, 1,500 miles wide, and 1,500 miles high. And you stick that thing on earth, it covers quite a few countries. And this city is beautiful beyond description. And God reveals for us in Revelation 21, verses 9 to Revelation 22, verse 5, a picture of this city. Now, we must not confuse millennium with eternity. Millennium is not eternity. Millennium is on this earth. Eternity is a new earth. Okay? So, millennium is old heaven and old earth. But eternity is a new heaven and new earth. During millennium, there will be sin. Surprise. Many people are surprised. There's sin, there's death. To die 100 years is dying like a child. There's death. There's drought. in Zechariah chapter 14. If the nation refused to go to, we can turn to it, okay? Don't take my word for it. Zechariah. Chapter 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And shall be that whoever will not come up of all the families in the earth unto Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. Drought. Eh? And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague with which the Lord will smite the nations and come not up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and so on and so forth. You know, the key thing is there'll be drought, there'll be plagues, there'll be sins, there'll be death. Not eternity. Different. Eh? So don't confuse millennium with eternity. Now, at the end of millennium, at the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be released from the bottomless pit. Now, during 1,000 years, the people sin, they cannot say, Satan caused me. They're Satan locked up. Eh? Satan did not cause anybody during millennium to sin. He's locked up. So, why do people sin? It's in their nature. How can people during the millennium be saved? By grace through faith. Is it different from us today? No. By grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Same. And it's different circumstances, but the same salvation is given to those in millennium to be saved. And people who don't like the Lord Jesus Christ will go to the different corners of the earth. You know, you remember this diagram. The light will shine. They go underneath. You know, they go to the other side. They stay far, far away from the Lord Jesus Christ. What happens when Satan is released? He go to all the corners because you know these people are there. And deceive them, and they'll march towards Jerusalem to revolt against God. But what happened? There's no war, actually, and there's no fighting. God sent fire and devoured them. After this, Satan was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Not were. They're still out there. Meaning that after 1,000 years, they're still burning and tormented in the lake of fire. No stopping. They're tormented day and night forever and ever. Forever and ever. And then God will destroy the old heavens and old earth. All heavens and earth will melt away. And this happens at the end of millennium. So eternity is different from millennium. Then comes the great white throne judgment. Who will be there? Only the unsaved. The book of life will be open. Name is there. But to show that your name is not there. If you stand at the great white throne judgment, your destiny is the lake of fire. And there are many other books that are written, the books of all your works, suggesting to us that there is probably different severity of punishment in the lake of fire. All the unsaved we will cast into the lake of fire. Then God will create new heavens and new earth. This is the beginning of eternity, or what we call the day of God. 2 Peter chapter 3, the day of God. And God says, "Behold, I make all things new." God will dwell with us, and we shall be his people, and God himself will be with us and be our God, and there will be no more death, neither sorrow, no crying, neither will there be any more pain. For all these things are passed away, gone, no more. There is no need for sin to contaminate. That's why God had to destroy the earth. And not just the earth, but the heavens, the whole universe, so that not a single stain is left. God wiping everything clean. So which side of eternity will you spend? Here, on top, new heavens, new earth, or the lake of fire? How many of you like to be in the lake of fire? No one. No volunteers. Why? It's a terrible, terrible place. Don't ever delay your decision on receiving Christ. Don't think for a moment that the day is not yet come. I still have time. Are you ready? Now, seeing all this, when Christ was describing all the events, you know, especially recorded for us in Mark chapter 13, Christ said, "Watch and pray. Watch and pray." Interesting that the last word in Matthew 13 is watch. Check your Bible. If you don't believe me, check your Bible. Most versions, the last word is watch. Watch what? You know, we are his watchmen. Whether we like it or not. If we are true believers, we are called upon to be watchmen. And as watchmen, we have to be diligent. You know, in the book Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, "Son of man, I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning," give them as in the Israelites, "warning from me," from God. "When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked shall die in his iniquity. But, his blood will I require at thine hand." God was talking to Ezekiel, a faithful prophet. Is God not telling us the same thing? You know, are we watching, seeing all these events that are unfolding before us? Are we sounding the alarm when we need to? You know what Paul says? Paul says, "I'm pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." All the counsel of God. See, Paul was unrestrained in terms of his sounding the alarm. So as in the days of Amos, see, Amos chapter 4 is a very interesting chapter. Read Amos chapter 4. I don't have time to go through it. But in there, Israel did not heed God's warning. The famine, the drought came, listen, the field crops, listen, the pestilence, the death, nothing. And five times in Amos chapter 4, God said, and yet ye have not returned unto me. Now God says, prepare to meet thy God. Isn't God doing the same today? God sends signs after signs after signs after signs after signs, and yet ye have not returned unto me. God says, prepare to meet thy God. Are we like Israel, now, oblivious of all the things that are happening around us? It's just another day. Another day, another year. This thing will come and it will pass. You know? It will pass. Live life and be happy. Don't be bothered by all these things. It will pass. Sadly, most of us are oblivious, unaware of the things that God is trying to tell us. It's as if God is saying this, and then you just say, shut up, God. No, let me live. Shut up. We are so bold as to saying that to God when we don't heed his warning. This is what we are saying. Shut up, God. Dare we say that to God? And the last days of the church is indeed very, very near. Let us be like Daniel. No, you can read Daniel chapter 9. It's a beautiful chapter. Daniel watched. And he knew the 70 years of Israel's exile is about to be fulfilled. And they're going back to the land. And Daniel knew from reading scripture, like Jeremiah. He mentioned that in Daniel chapter 9. And then he prayed. He was so sorry for the state of affairs in Israel. He identified himself with the Israelites. He prayed with such moving prayers. And God, and he fasted for 21 days. He prayed earnestly. You know, can almost hear the weeping in his prayer when you read Daniel chapter 9. Very moving prayer, worthwhile reading. And this is something that but perhaps we can also learn to be like a Daniel. And the Lord is coming. So may we pray, even as with the saints in Revelation 22. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the scripture which tells us of so many things which thou hast desired for us to know. Thou art interested in our lives. We struggle in these difficult circumstances, yet we know that thou leadest us. By thy own hand, thou leadest us. We know that thou loves us. We know the Lord Jesus Christ loves us. And yet, even as thou hast unfolded all these events before us, thou hast desired for us to be a responsible and diligent watchman. that when we see the things happening and threatening us and the world, we may sound the alarm. We can raise the voice and make sure that the ones who need salvation is truly aware of thy salvation through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The salvation which thou hast brought, a heavy price that was paid, and our Lord Jesus Christ made it possible that any sinners who will repent may receive forgiveness because of the precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank thee for him. We thank thee for this time that thou hast given us. We ask that our words will continue to stir us that we may be ready, that we may awake from our sleep, that we may indeed come before thee, knowing that we have done what thou hast required of us, to be a watchman, a diligent watchman, that indeed we can be like the Apostle Paul declared, I'm innocent of the blood. We thank thee for this time once again. We ask that even as we part from this place, thou part us with thy blessings. We ask all this in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.